looking at Genesis 1:1 today for a second time. Let me start off by saying it's good to be back. It's good to be. I'm thankful for the time away to rest and to spend time with family, to be refreshed. I spent many days with dear friends and brothers and sisters in Christ who encouraged me, and other ministers whom we traded notes of life in our churches. And as I heard them speak of the things that the burdens they bear and the ministries that they have, it made me long more and more to be with you all and to serve you all more. Their problems are their problems, and my problems are my problems. Their churches are their churches, and my church is my church. And I am thankful for that reality. I'm thankful to be with you all, to serve you as your pastor. It was refreshing to be away, but I longed to come back. And this is not a lie. You can ask my family. When we crossed the Howard Franklin Bridge, we all rejoiced and celebrated, and I yelled out. We rolled the windows down to smell the salt air again, and I said, "We're back," and I am indeed glad to be back. I'm glad to be back on these streets. I am glad to be back here, charged with the task of serving and leading this this church in gospel ministry, and I am truly refreshed, and I look forward to the days that are to come and in service to this church. Let's open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll consider the word of the Lord. So let us pray. To the one who is three in one, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give you praise. We ask for your help in these moments. Help to consider your word, to be transformed by it. Help to long to know you, to give you praise, to see you exalted, not only in this building, but in the households, in the lives, in the streets that surround us. Lord, I pray that a new day has come for the life of our church, a new day whereby we resolve and commit together to live as the body of Christ you have called us to be, in such a way that spills over into the streets, calling on men and women to trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Lord, I pray as we consider your timelessness, your power, that we would all be struck in wonder and worship of you, the living God. Be exalted. Show the greatness of Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a couple weeks ago, maybe three, I started to preach on the book of Genesis, actually in the text. Back in 1st of June, we looked at an overview of the book of Genesis, and then the second week, we discussed Genesis 1:1, and I discussed that there are at least three truths that could be gleaned from Genesis 1:1. In Genesis 1:1 reads this: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And I listed three specific points that can be gleaned from that. Number one, that there is a God. The opening pages of Scripture, the opening words of Scripture indicate primarily that there is a God and that this book is about Him. The second point, the one we will expand upon today, is that this God who is there, the God who is there, is not bound by time. He was in the beginning. He encompassed the beginning when it began, which means he preceded the beginning. And we'll expand upon that and tell what that means for us and how it applies to the life that we actually lead. And the third, which is related to number two, as a matter of fact, the second point is a subset of this third point. God is powerful, for he created all that there is by his very word, and we'll look at that over the next couple of weeks. God, the creator God. So God, the opening verse of Genesis, three truths that can be gleaned from that. Number one, there is a God. Number two, God is not bound by time. And three, God is powerful. So we're going to look and expand on number two, the timeless God, the God who is not bound by time. And that matters to us. And just it matters to us because we, all of us, are helplessly bound to time. We are under time's power. Time rules over us in one sense. Time is limited to us. We have a beginning and we have an end. There is a set to that. There is a day when there is a day. So I was born August 5th, 1980. Remember that because it's coming up. I expect nice things for my birthday. August 5th, I was born. I entered the world August 5th. August 4th, I was in my mother's womb. You date back 9 months prior to that, there was a time I did not exist. There was a time when I was not. Now that I am, I have a limited space, a limited span in this world. That span is determined by God. Each passing moment is an unrenewable resource. I cannot go back and get it again. Once it is gone forever. And that has implications with how am I to live? What am I to do with my time? That also has implications of who I am, who we are. Because our time is limited, because that resource is unrenewable, there's a reality that we cannot do all that we wish to do or hope to do within the time given to us. All of us, whether rich or poor, powerful, influential, or weak and vulnerable, we all have the same 24-hour days. We all have the same 7-day weeks. We have the 12-month year. And with each changing year, with each changing day, there is an amount of work or goals that we were able to accomplish, and then there is an amount that we are unable to accomplish. And for various reasons, for some reason, some of us, we waste time and it just flutters away. For some of us, we work as hard and as diligently as we can, but we are limited. Time continues to move. Some of you are saying, looking at your watches right now, and you say, yeah, you're telling me, preacher man, hurry up here. Time just continues to move. Some of you, we remember your younger days. You're going through the ebb and flow of life when you were in grade school, and the school year would begin. In my case, it began somewhere around September. Now it begins early August. Your school year begins, and some of your activity in school coincided with the holidays that happened to be around. So October, you made pumpkins and jack-o'-lanterns and made crafts with witches and ghosts and ghoulies and such. And then November, you made turkeys and other things. And Christmas time, and that transition from Halloween to Christmas time seemed forever long. Specifically that month period between Thanksgiving and Christmas, when you're a little kid, 6 years old, 7 years old, the time just seemed to move so slowly. You just could not get there quick enough. Some of you, in your golden years of life, you're saying, forget about months, years, 5-year blocks, decades are moving so quickly. It's out of your control. You know and feel its limitations. Some of you who are in your stage of life where you have multiple responsibilities, you have your work, your home life, and maybe you have, in my case, a pile of kids living at your home, and the days are just shrunk. You wake up and you move and you shake and you have to do all that you have to do, and the next thing you know, it's 12 o'clock at night, and you don't know what happened in between then. You know kind of what you did, but it all flew by like a blur. And then you look at your, and if you're like my wife, you say, I'm going to do X, Y, Z. And then within that 24-hour period, unless she sacrificed sleep, X, Y, and Z never got accomplished because Q, R, and S came and interrupted. 1, 2, and 3 came and interrupted. And just the day went by and it slipped through her hands. We are bound by time. We can't stop its passage. We cannot stop its movement. We are barreling forward in it, in its grasp. We are limited by time. And yet the scripture holds that God is not limited. God is timeless. He is outside of time. You imagine time being a container. And all that is in that container, it is under its control. It is under its power that we cannot transcend. We cannot get outside of time. You know, we cannot suspend ourselves and stop and pause and then manipulate outside of it. Time just moves and moves and moves. Yet God, it shows in the scripture, and we'll look, whenever he enters in time, because though he is timeless in one sense, in another sense, he does act in accordance with time. And we'll expand on that in just a little bit. But when he enters into time, when he enters into the container of time, there's no limitations to his power and what he can do. There is nothing that is able to control him or limit him within the span of time. For him, a 24-hour period is not a limitation. A 24-hour period does not hinder him from accomplishing all that he would. And this has meaning for us. For we are so often prone to believe that we can control our destinies and our we can ultimately control our lives. And things like time show us just how foolish we really are into thinking that. So let's look into what the scripture says. Scripture says in several points, I'm just going to read through these. I have them recorded here. Scripture says in several things. So we're going to look at two categories specifically, three categories actually. First off, God is without beginning or end. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. That teaches us something. There is this thing called the beginning, when time began. God was there in the beginning. He encompassed the beginning, which means that he predated the beginning. The beginning did not begin God. He predated the beginning. He began it. We can't understand that. You try as you may, you cannot wrap your mind around that with any sort of solid sense. It is a mystery that we must hold to by faith. Now, what I mean by faith, I don't mean as the cultural caricature says, like, for instance, in the scientific world and those who hold to a naturalistic philosophy, they will claim towards Christians, you all claim faith because there's no evidence for what you believe, and you just say, so that's all, you chalk it up to faith. What I talk about faith is not the, you know, well, hey, there's no evidence to believe this claim, so let's just throw it out there. What I'm saying is that faith is an informed hope and trust that though our ability to understand the infinite, which is God, has got to be limited because we are not infinite. We are finite. We have beginnings. We have ends. So there is no way that our limited mind, can understand the limitless mind of God. But we trust that he has made himself known in such a way that is understandable and perceptible to us. So by faith, we trust in certain truths that we cannot grasp fully. We can grasp them truly, but not fully, for they are beyond our ability. It does not mean that there is not evidence for it. It just means that we have a limited capacity to understand it, but we can understand it truly, rightly, and in a manner in which God intends for it. For he, the perfect, infinite being, has made himself known in a way that is understandable to us. And so by faith, I look at this and say, if there is a such thing as a beginning, and all I know is time, or all I know are beginnings and ends, my whole experience is beginning and end. New year begins January 1st. It ends December 31st. And then a new year begins. And we never go back. There was a time when I was a single man living with Jonathan and staying up way too late playing video games. I met Lori. I married her. And I do not go back to bachelorhood. I do not go back to that place when I was not married to Lori. I am now married to Lori. That marriage can end, Lord willing, it will not until death do us part, if by God's grace. But I can never go back. I can never go back to that time before I married Lori. No matter what, all my future, I will always be I always at one point have been married to Lori. My children, there was a time when I did not, when Lori and I did not have children. And then they started to arrive and arrive and arrive and arrive and arrive. And we can never go back to that time. We can never go back to that time beforehand. Not that we ever would some days, but we can never go back. That is how we work. That is how life and everything pushes us forward within time. That showcases our constraints and our constraints within time. So we cannot understand anything that precedes the beginning. We cannot perceive what for us has gripped us our entire existence. We cannot perceive an existence that is without time. It is not as if God is 14 bazillion years old. Is that he existed infinitely before time began. How does that mean? What does that mean? We cannot wrap ourselves around it. Even if we started to, we still have to do so within the context of language referring to time and its constraints. But God is without beginning. He was there when the beginning began, lording over it, ruling over it. As the scripture says in Deuteronomy 32, verse 40, it says, "For I lift up my hand to heaven and swear," this is the Lord speaking, "as I live forever." Psalm 90, verse 2, we read, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." So how does God span his existence? Everlasting, which we have no concept of. We are not everlasting. To everlasting. That is the scope and the range of God's existence. It is beyond our ability. We have language to discuss it. But conceptually, we cannot wrap our minds around that. We read in Psalm 93, verse 2, "Your throne is established from old. You are from everlasting." Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27. "Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end." God has no beginning. He has no end. He is infinite, outside of time. He can both enter into time and fully encompass it and be outside of it. Again, a mystery that we cannot understand. It is showcased in the incarnation when Jesus became man. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. The infinite, personal God dwelt on earth as a man. So while the babe in Bethlehem laid in the manger, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, was upholding the universe by his very will. While the babe required his mother's milk for sustenance and for his earthly parents' care to change and to clothe him, he was upholding their life, keeping them, holding them together, all of their atoms and molecules and cells and their genetic makeup. He held them together by his very will as he lay there as an infant. God can both encompass and enter in time and be outside of time. He is without limitation. Time does not stop him in any way. He has no beginning. He has no end. Secondly, we read clearly that the scripture teaches that for us and from our perspective, creation is the beginning of all things that we know except for God. And the scriptures make clear this and distinguish this for us. We read in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 21, "Do you not know," this is the Lord speaking, "do you not hear? Has it not been told for you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth?" So from the foundation of the earth is the beginning. God is outside of that, not limited by that. So from the perspective of the Old Testament Jews, they understood creation is the beginning. God was there. God commanded. He was outside of it. Let's read further. Isaiah 41, verse 4. "Who has performed and done this, calling all generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he." Isaiah 46, verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things yet not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purposes. In that verse, the Lord says, from the beginning, before things began that were not yet seen, i.e. when God said, let there be light. Light had yet not yet been. Light was not in existence. God in his very word proclaimed, let there be light. And at that time, light did not exist. And that which did not exist, because the mind of God and the command of God and the power of God called light into being, light came rushing forth. And here the prophet Isaiah says, before that time happened, God determined to accomplish his purposes. So before the very first thing in the material world ever was, the Lord accomplished his purposes. Before time began, the Lord has determined to accomplish his purposes. He is outside of the realm of time. He enters in. He does indeed act sequentially. Time, in this verse, also shows that. And what I mean by that is this. When we talk about God's timelessness, that doesn't mean that everything he does is suspended outside of time. He clearly does act within time. What I mean is this. I already referenced Jesus becoming man. There was a time when Jesus was not man. The Word did not become flesh prior to him becoming flesh. God acts within. God does act and subscribe himself to a sequential nature. But there is also a reality where he pulls outside of that. And that sequence then is in front of him. So I want to be careful because I don't want to get lost because this idea is getting too big even in my own head. But what I mean is this. There is a reality where God acts within a time sequence. There was a time when Christ was not man, then he became man. There was a time when the church did not exist, now the church exists. There was a time when there was no light, there was no heavens and the earth. He created them. And he created them within in an orderly, sequential way, manner, which we'll look at over the course of several weeks. So God does subscribe himself to a sequential process from time to time, but that is not all, that he is not limited by that, he is not bound by that, whereas we are. I woke up this morning, I complained and shook my fist at the skies for how early it was, I took a shower, I got dressed for church, I helped get my kids ready, I walked over, all that happened within a sequence. Everything I do happens sequentially, whereas God, some things he does happens within a sequence. Other things he does out of his infinite being, out of his infinite existence. And that we don't understand. We cannot conceptualize it. He is outside of that, and that verse shows it. Let's continue on. Third point, God is not limited by time. I've already made much of this. Psalm 90, verse 4, where we read, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. 2 Peter 3:8, we read, do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and as 1,000 years as one day. Like I said earlier, God is not limited when he enters into time. We are. We have the 24-hour period. We have 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day. And within that time, we can accomplish only so much. Our energy begins to lower as the day goes longer. Our capabilities, our mental and physical and emotional capabilities start to dwindle. We lose. Part of time's limitation is that we are zapped of energy and fervency. Some of you, at certain stages of your life, when you're young, you look at the children and how many hours they could just run in nonstop circles, screaming at the top of their lungs, you know, just expelling energy. It's like, oh, to be young again. Oh, to be able to expel that much energy. You know, I remember one of my deacons at my church in Mackville, Kentucky. He was helping me fix something, and he bent over, and he looked at me. He goes, it's not getting down that's the problem. It's getting back up. So I have to make sure I get everything I need done while I'm down here, and then I'll get back up. Because time has taken its toll on the years have taken its toll on his body and his ability to do what he can. Whereas with God, you give God a 24-hour period. And it is as if he can accomplish 1,000 years worth of stuff. And you give God 1,000 years, and he does not give way to boredom. Some of us, the problem isn't that that time is limited. Some of us that we have just an overabundance of time. Too much with not enough to do within that time, or so we think. And boredom and doldrums just wear us down. Sometimes boredom zaps your energy more than activity. And you just, the days that cannot pass. What is, you know, I know that some of you in your retirement years, especially those of you who've entered into widowhood, or you know, with your children who've moved, or your children have moved far away, and every day you hear news of a loved one or someone close to you passing away just because of how life goes, and you just one less person to talk to, one less individual to help kind of share life together, and then you realize that the phone stops ringing as much as it once did. The call stopped coming in. There's less people I can talk to. There's less people I can go see. And the days go on and on and on. And you haven't heard or seen from anyone in 2 or 3 days, sometimes weeks. And you feel the sting of time and how you long for relief from that. Some of you are young, and because you're inactive and not good stewards of your time, you are just given over to boredom constantly. You're not expelling your energy to the glory of God. You are expelling it to selfishness and to self-centeredness. And there's just not enough hours in the day to fill up with yourself. That's just the reality. None of us are interesting enough to keep us entertained 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because we are limited. And yet, if we spend our days in selfish self-centeredness, then time will just be a disastrous drain of your person and your vibrancy. God is not limited by that. 24 hours in a 24-hour day, God can accomplish all that he wants. That's why Peter uses that language. Within a day, it's like 1,000 years. Nothing limits him. In 1,000 years, he'll never get bored. It's like a day for him. There's so much to him and his person that he can accomplish all 1,000 years worth of tasks in 24 hours, and in a 1,000-year span can pass as if it were a day. For God is so grand in his scale and his scope, and his time does not limit it in any way. Now, you ask yourself, what all does this mean? Why does this matter? That was nice. That was cute. Why does this matter? I've got some points of application and then a conclusion. Here we go. This matters for us because often we seek to take God's place in our lives, in that we believe we have deceived ourselves into believing that we can control all aspects of our lives. Time, though, challenges that to its core. Now, how do we express some of that desire to control our lives? Well, some of us, I've already hinted at, we put too much in a 24-hour period. We try to fill our schedules. We try to take the place of God and do all that there is to do, wearing ourselves out, denying ourselves sleep and rest, ignoring the pattern of God of 6 days of work and a day of rest. We fill our days up 7 days a week, 12 months a year, just constantly going and going and going, and not allowing ourselves to understand and embrace our limitations within time that God gave us in order for us to recognize that we are not God. It is God and God alone who a day is like 1,000 years. For us, a day is a day. And we must give way by faith to God's control and his rule over us. What he has given us to do, we do. And we put the work down for a time and we rest in him. But we are so prone to believe and to deceive ourselves that we are the ones in control, that we are the ones who are to accomplish and to affect our destinies when it is in the hands of the living God. And I've already hinted at the opposite end of that spectrum is laziness. We flitter away time. We just spend time as if it was a cheap commodity. But it is an unrenewable, precious resource. You can never get it back. We all get the same amount, and we are to spend it to his service and to his glory, and to fritter it away with apathy and laziness and slothfulness is an offense to the living God who has made us in his image, created us in order to be productive, working in his strength, a day's work for his glory. So you have two opposite ends of the spectrum. You have those who are driving themselves ragged, thinking that they can manipulate time and control time and deny themselves sleep and rest in order to accomplish all the things there are to accomplish, when all the while God designs for time and the toll that time takes on us in order for us to recognize that we are not God, dependent on him. Some of us believe that time is an unlimited resource that just allows us to do whatever we want to be lazy and slothful. And the Lord says, this is against my pattern and design for you. You are designed for a purpose, to work and to give your days over to me and my glory, and you do not do that. We worry. We worry. As time passes, we start to realize that there's not enough time to do all that I wish to do, and we worry. This, again, is an indication, is a communication that we believe that we are the ones in control of our destiny, because what worry communicates is we do not trust God and his power to do what he says he will do. And as time ticks away, we feel we must control that. We must control its movement. We must manipulate its movements all the while. It is God who is moving it according to his sovereign purposes, and he will accomplish what his designs are for it. And we are to give way to faith. We are to work diligently and work faithfully, but give, not to worry, not to pretend, not to continue with the deception that we are the ones who control time and its movement. So, how do we conclude? We conclude this. The picture of God in the scripture is one of a timeless, limitless, powerful God. Genesis 1:1 again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is the God who is there. This is the God who is the prime reality in all of the universe. This God exists, and everyone here, everybody here is accountable to him. And the disclosure, his self-disclosure of his limitlessness, of his timelessness, is not just neat trivia for us to have, but it is a means of God disclosing to us, you have limitations. You have weaknesses and frailties. You are not sovereign and ruler over all things, but I am Lord over time. I am Lord over that which every man is captive to. I command it. It accomplishes my purposes. I use it for my glory. I use it to do what my will has determined to do. I alone am free within time. Time does not grip me. It does not grasp me. I enter in and I exit out at my will. I am the Lord. I command all things, and you are accountable to me. You owe your allegiance and your lives to me, and I will treat them well. I will give you grace and peace and life. I can take from you and save you from the deception that you are in control of your own destiny. I can give you freedom, and that those who are running the rat race and running yourselves to the ground, desperate to try to find meaning and purpose and satisfaction in all your work and labor and toil, I can give you rest. And for those of you given over to the doldrums of boredom and the endless passage of time without enough to do, give yourselves over to me and find in me a person, a being that can fill all your days with interest and with beauty and glory and greatness that you will never know in front of a television screen or a phone screen or in whatever else you fill your life with. You can give yourself over to beauty and glory, and the passage of time will no longer feel like a drain of your person, but you would be filled with the glory of God in all your days. Give yourself over to me and give your life over to me, filling your days with my service and my glory. So we, all of us, every one of us, are accountable to the God who has been disclosed in the scripture as the infinite, timeless, personal God of Genesis 1:1. And if you are here, and for the first time you are seeing, there is a God, and he is glorious. How can I know this God? How can I have access to this God? My life has been this whole time without him. And I want this God. This same God did indeed, as I said earlier, enter time through the person of his Son who became flesh. Lived this life, lived in this world, in this very real world. Walked amongst us. Lived his life in the service and praise of God. And that led him to his death on the cross. A death of a criminal, taking the place of us for our sin and our rebellion against this living God. He took our sins upon himself, and on the cross of Christ, Jesus paid the penalty for our sin and our rebellion against this great God. God punishing Christ, the willing victim, the voluntary victim in our place, in order to set us free, in order to grant us access to God. And all who come to God through Jesus Christ the Son, believing that God saves sinners through Jesus, they have access to God, new life in him, salvation in his name. And you can come to this, the living, infinite, timeless God, and know him, the one who governs and controls the whole of the universe and all its movements and all its mechanisms. He runs it and controls it. He is timeless, boundless, and free, and he invites you to himself to find grace and peace in him. So trust in God through Christ. Christian, give your life to the God who is boundless, who is free, who is infinite and powerful, who alone holds your life in his hands and controls all aspects of it, even the movement of time, and it accomplishes his purposes. Give way to him. Trust in him. Pattern your life, as we'll look at in later days, after his design for you. Let us pray. Our great God, we are thankful that you have made yourself known. You have revealed yourself to us in ways that we can understand. You have made yourself known that you are different from us. You are holy, apart from us, other than us. And yet we can know you. We have access to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. We, who are limited and bound by time, have access to the timeless, limitless, powerful God through Jesus. I pray, Lord, that everyone here would receive that access by faith and go to Jesus, finding salvation in him and in him alone. Showcase your glory and your greatness. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.